We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, this man's done it all right? He played. He was a tremendous player in high school, college, and in the NBA. He coached. He was an executive. He was the dean of discipline, which made Beningo very happy.
We'll get into that.
And I'll just say this. This man brought me more joy as a sports fan than anybody else because he gave me Jason Kidd. He gave me RJ. He gave me back-to-back NBA finals. And that is the Hall of Famer. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame in September, the great Rod Thorne. Rod, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Hi, Rod.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Nice to be on with you.
We appreciate it. You gave me agita, by the way, when you suspended Ewing in 97. I mean, that was disgraceful.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I still hear about that one.
Of course you do. Now, can I ask you a question before we even go? Because I can't. You know, that was the last shot. And you know how bad the Knicks are now. What a disgrace. You know, those are like the good old days now. You suspended Ewing. Was that your call or did that come on high from the all-knowing Stern?
Well, let me say this. I recommended it.
And, you recommended
you know,
it?
With anything of that of that nature, you know, the commish has obviously the last call on it, but I recommended it. We talked about it and decided to do it.
And decided to hand Miami that series. So we thank you, Rod. We appreciate it. Thank you. All right, good. Now, so, let the Net fan take over now.
No, because I'm thinking, so then you stuck it to the Knicks many, many times. Think about this. You drafted Michael Jordan, stuck it to the Knicks.
Oh, that's right. That's right, too. Thanks for that, too.
The suspension, and then the Kidd era was defined by owning the New York Knicks.
Well, at that point, it didn't matter.
That point was, well, I enjoyed it.
No, I know
you
do.
So you have done a great, this is part of why I love you even more now. You have done a remarkable job of sticking it to the Knicks. Great job, Rod. I appreciate that.
Oh, thanks.
To the Hall of Fame, because congratulations. It's well earned. You've really done everything in this sport. What went through your mind when you got that phone call? I guess it was back in April that you were going to be enshrined in the Naismith Hall of Fame.
I was surprised, and I'll tell you why I was surprised, because they had sent something out like 2 months before. And there were like 75 names on a list that I was one of. It said, you're being considered. So I really didn't think about it. And on the day I heard from them, I was in the Botanical Gardens in Naples, Florida, which is where I live now.
God bless you there. Great town.
Couple grandkids and my wife. And I got a call while we were watching a dinosaur exhibit in the Botanical Gardens. So I was surprised. Very pleasantly, I might add, surprised.
What did you enjoy? Because you did everything with this game. What did you enjoy doing the most? Was it playing, being an executive, suspending guys to tick off Beningo? What did you enjoy the most?
Whatever I was doing at the time. And I've, you know, been very fortunate to have been in virtually every facet of professional basketball anyway. And, when I was a player, I loved that. When I was a coach, I loved doing that. When I worked for the NBA, I loved doing that. So, you know, whatever I was doing at the time, the difference is when you're a player or a coach for a team or a GM, you're thinking about your team all the time. You have feedback every day. It may be negative, it may be positive, but you have feedback. When you're with the league, you're thinking about more long term. You want everybody to do well. You don't care who wins or loses. So it's just a different mindset. But I enjoyed all of them.
Let's talk to Rod Thorne. Let's talk about the draft in Jordan. Hakeem went number one that year. And
right.
Were you surprised Portland took Sam Bowie ahead of Michael?
You know something? I wasn't, because about a month before the draft, the late Stu Inman, that I was very friendly with, and I had a conversation with him and asked him who they were going to take. And he said if Bowie passed their physical, they would take him. So about a week before the draft, I called him and I said, Bowie take his physical yet? And he said, yes. I said, did he pass? He said, yes. You still going to take him? Yes. So I knew a week before the draft that we would get Jordan.
And that was an easy choice. You weren't considering, you know, Charles Barkley or Sam Perkins or anybody else. It was, we're definitely taking MJ at three then.
You know something, definitely. Barkley, now this is how fate is. If Jordan had been taken ahead of us, I would have taken Sam Perkins.
Wow.
Over Barkley. We didn't consider because of his health issues. But I would have taken Perkins over Barkley, which would have – and Perkins was a good player. Had a
sure.
Long,
oh, yeah. You know, no, he was good. Yeah.
He had a long career, but he certainly was not Barkley.
I thought
Barkley was too small.
Hey, I appreciate your honesty right there because not many guys would admit that. Yeah. And he was a good player, but still, Charles Barkley's a Hall of Famer.
Of course.
Oh, Charles is great.
Did you ever imagine, because, you know, even to this day, the big discussion is always MJ versus LeBron, MJ being the greatest of all time. When you bring him in at number three, what were your visions for him? Could you ever envision him being maybe the greatest player of a generation?
I wish I were prescient enough to think at the time we drafted him that he would become what he eventually became. We thought he would certainly be a very good player. But, yeah, you know, who knows if the guy's going to be that good? I will say that Dean Smith, who I'd become very friendly with, had told me in a private conversation, and he would never say it publicly, that Jordan was the most talented player he'd ever coached. He did say that to me, and he had obviously coached a lot of really talented players. You know, Michael from the first practice was our best player, but, you know, he wasn't a shooter when he came in the league. His outside shot, he was a driver. You know, he tried to drive every time, and he became a much better shooter. I wish I could say that I knew he was going to be an all-time great.
Talking to Rod Thorne, who's on his way into the Hall of Fame. Now, let's talk about, and my partner's a big Net fan, and I thought one of the great, besides obviously Jason Kidd, but that draft day trade you made that night when you got Richard Jefferson and Jason Collins, I mean, that was a phenomenal trade. Take us through that trade a little bit, Rod.
Well, you know, it really started the morning of the draft when Carol Dawson, who worked for Houston called and was asking about our draft pick. And he said, so I said, well, you know, what are you offering? And he said, well, we'll give you a couple of firsts. We have three firsts. We'll give you a couple. And I said, nah, I'm not interested. So later on in the day, he called back and he said, we'll give you all three of them. Well, we didn't. Eddie Griffin obviously was a very talented player.
Yep.
But there were issues with him, obviously, that we were very privy to because we were in New Jersey, very close to Seton Hall. And our feeling was that we were not going to take him. And we needed we didn't have enough players. Even though we'd gotten Jason, we didn't have enough players. So we made the trade, and I distinctly remember our choice at 13, I think, was either Jefferson or Troy Murphy from Notre Dame, who went on to
remember
be a
him.
Nice player.
And you're playing for the Nets later on.
But certainly wasn't as good as Richard.
No.
At 17, our choice was either Jason Collins or Brendan Haywood.
Mm.
And Brendan Haywood had a knee issue at the time. So we ended up taking Jason Collins. But the next one was the real interesting one. We ended up drafting Armstrong. Our second choice was Agent Zero.
Oh, Gilbert Arenas?
Gilbert Arenas was our second choice, and our third choice was a kid from Southern Cal, a very athletic guard that they had. And we decided that we would take, in that order. Well, Armstrong was available, so we took him. Had we taken Agent Zero, that would have been an incredible draft.
Oh, my God. I can't get on you because you did deliver
Jason
Collins.
That was a pretty good draft anyway.
Gilbert Arenas,
come
he
on,
put
Rod.
Together a pretty good career. He turned into a little bit of a maniac.
A little crazy.
You know, pretty good career.
Well, he Arenas was an incredible talent. You know, he did obviously had some issues, but
right.
he was an incredible talent.
So that trade really came together on draft day.
It really did. It came together on draft day, and you know, Kerry Kittles came back, you know, which was big for us, and it gave us a starting two guard. Kenyon Martin, who had broken his leg the previous year,
coming off,
you know, being injured at Cincinnati, now he's healthy, and now we get Jason, and all of a sudden we have a really good team.
Who would you have taken then? Because you've been very honest about, well, we're considering this guy or considering that guy. If that trade never happened, maybe the Rockets say, ah, you know what, we're not giving you all three first-round picks. And you said you probably wouldn't have taken Eddie Griffin at 7. Who would you have taken instead if you had kept that pick?
If we didn't, but we wouldn't have taken Eddie. He was because, as I said, we knew too much stuff about him. We would have probably taken Joe Johnson.
Wow. Mm.
Wow. Who again wound up as a net, too.
Be a hell of a player.
Sure.
Another former net.
That's right. Ended up back with the Nets. You know, we're talking to Rod Thorne. People forget this because the Jason Kidd trade is one of the great trades ever made.
God.
But I remember at the time, I'm going to be honest with you, Stephon Marbury's 23 years old. He's a Brooklyn guy. Mm. He's an all-star. Mm. I didn't hate the trade, but I was worried. I'm thinking, Steph is young. He's talented. He may get even better. Jason Kidd is dealing with plenty of off-the-court issues. We know what happened with him. He's a little bit older. That was not at the time considered, oh, my God, the greatest trade ever. It became it. Take me through that decision on making, because it was a risky deal at the time in trading a guy like Marbury for a guy like Kidd.
I could not agree with you more, and for the reasons that you have just talked about. My feeling was, after I was with the Nets for a couple of months, we had some talent. You know, we had Keith Van Horn, and we had, you know, Kenyon, and we had Stephon, who was a very, very talented player. What we didn't have after about 2 months is we had terrible chemistry on our team. We couldn't guard. We couldn't rebound the ball. And we just didn't fit right. And I made up my mind about 2 months in that I've got to shake this team up. Now, I didn't know at the time it would be with Stephon. That summer, before I took the job with the Nets, I spent a lot of time with the USA team that was trying to qualify in Puerto Rico. And they had, you know, most of the top players in the league. And Jason Kidd, everybody deferred to Jason Kidd. Everybody wanted to play with him. He was that type player. And so I grew to really like him during that time in the summer. And so, you know, at the end of the next year when, you know, we started having conversations with Phoenix, Brian Colangelo, in fact, who was the GM in Phoenix, and we ended up, you know, making the deal. And what it did for us is all of the ways we were bad, all of a sudden we became, you know, pretty good. Jason was a great defender. Jason was a great rebounder. Jason was a great passer, and he was a great chemistry guy. So he helped us in every possible area, you know, we could be helped in.
I remember I was living in D.C. at the time, and the Nets played the Wizards in a preseason game in October of 2001, and it was my first
time. Remember the game.
You do? Jordan.
I remember that game.
Jordan was amazing that night, right?
It was.
It was the first time I, as a basketball fan, ever saw Michael Jordan live. It was a preseason game, and he delivered. It's like he knew there are people here who've never seen
me
play. I'm
like
going to put on a show.
Right.
And I remember sitting there amazed by Jordan, and I looked at this basketball team, and I said, wait, this team is different. This Net team is different. And the Nets won that game. He had a big lead, blew the lead, but still held on and won. You remember that game.
I remember that game. And that was, you know, during exhibition season is when, you know, I said to myself, we're going to be pretty good. Now, I didn't harbor any visions of going to the finals or of, you know, going from 26 victories to 51, I think it was. But I knew we were going to be a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
And Kidd, you know, how many guys make other players better? There are a lot of certainly really good players in the NBA, but there are very few that make their teammates better. Kidd was one of those guys. Everybody was better because of him.
If Stephon Marbury is the point guard with the exact same roster, did they win 33 games, something like that? Is it fair to say
Kidd
made that difference?
I think we would have been better. You know, we also picked up Todd McCullough.
Yes.
So we had Todd and we had Jason and we had Richard, you know, coming off the bench. Our team would have been better, but not the same. And
right.
Stephon, what a great talent. Incredible talent, athletic, but he didn't make other people better.
Right.
You know, that wasn't one of his skills.
Absolutely. Mm.
Again, talking to Rod Thorne, who's going to is on his way to the Hall of Fame. I got to tell you, even though I'm a Knick fan, I remember those teams well. The game that I was at this game, and I will never forget, because this game, you had to win this game, and that was game five. Remember when the first round was five games? Game five at the Meadowlands against Indiana.
Oh,
and
boy.
You guys win 52 games that year. You're the number one seed. Man, you got to win this game. I mean, if the Nets didn't win that game, Rod, boy, oh, boy. And I think it
history would have been different.
Oh, and Reggie did what he did to the Knicks all those years to you guys in that game.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you wound up winning it in double overtime, if I'm not mistaken. You finally won. But that game, to me, I will always stick out. Maybe the biggest game in the history of the franchise, Rod. I mean,
no doubt.
How about that game against the Pacers that night, game five in 01?
It changed history. We lost the first game. We won two and three, lost four. Now we're playing five. We have to win the game.
Yep.
The game is back and forth. It's a great game all the way. Finally, we're up three with 3 seconds. They miss. Richard gets a rebound and gets fouled, Jefferson.
Mm.
So I'm standing up, getting ready to celebrate, I was in a suite, and we're congratulating each other. Richard misses both free throws. Now, what you may not remember is that the shot Reggie Miller made that was fantastic. If you had the same rules we have today where you can go over to and take a look, the shot was late.
Really?
The shot was late.
Really? It didn't beat the shot clock.
It was late.
Mm-hmm.
When they
I don't remember that.
It, when they, see, we didn't have that in those days.
Right,
when they
right.
replayed it afterwards, the shot was late.
Unbelievable.
So he makes this shot. Now we go overtime.
Unbelievable.
And they are up 4 points with a minute and a half left in the game. And they have the ball, and Ron Mercer. Remember him?
Oh, sure.
He drives baseline. There's a collision. He scores. A charge was called. It was a very close call. The officials called a charge. We got the ball back. If they call a block, we're probably down 7 with a minute and a half left in the game, and they're probably going to win it.
No doubt. I remember the second overtime
unbelievable,
being
game.
Relaxing because that was when – the Nets went on a huge run, like 11-2 run, something to kind of ease it so that when the final horn sounds, it was relaxing. But the end of regulation, overtime, the most
overtime.
Stressful thing you'll ever see,
Well, I remember when Reggie made that shot, I fell to one knee. It was like, oh, no, this didn't happen. But you know, the other thing about that game, Jason scored 30 or more, and Kenyon Martin. We had two guys that scored in the 30s.
I know Van Horn had a big night, too. It was the most important net maybe in NBA franchise history.
Yeah,
I won't say
yeah,
ABA.
Not in the ABA, but, yeah, I would completely agree with
getting
that.
Getting that victory.
Yeah, you had to win that game. I'll tell you this, too, Rod. And Jason Kidd got so hosed that year that he wasn't the MVP. They gave it to Duncan. Are you kidding me? How did Kidd not win the MVP that year, Rod?
You know, it was like, and again, we go back to a different era. It was like small guys can't win the MVP.
Right.
They can't win the MVP because you're right. He deserved to win it.
Oh, God. Yeah. Please.
He deserved. I mean, Duncan. You know, Duncan was great, and he had unbelievable statistics. But Jason, criminy sakes, you can't. You know, and then after him, you get Iverson, and you get Derrick Rose, and then you get Nash twice, and
right.
you get Stephen Curry twice. But in all due respect to Duncan. Jason deserved it.
He was the definition of
no
an MVP.
No question about it.
The absolute definition.
No question.
I want to skip the NBA Finals against the Lakers and the Spurs because it's too depressing. But after the series against San Antonio, the stress of will he stay or will he go was amazing. I got two questions. Number one, did you think he was going to leave? But here's the other part. did he tell you basically, I'm staying, but you have to sign Alonzo Mourning? Was that a package deal?
The reality was the following. If Jason was married at the time, and if he would have gone to San Antonio, but his wife didn't want to live there, I think for sure he would have gone. Mm. So, yeah, I thought we were going to probably lose him, but she did not want to live there, so he ended up coming back with us. Mourning, he was very pro-Mourning, let me say that.
So, yes, he basically.
He was hoping that we would sign Mourning.
Hey, so I get it. Basically, Jason said, listen, Rod, you got to bring this guy back. And I don't blame you. To bring Jason Kidd back, I would have done anything. I mean, what wouldn't you do to get Jason Kidd to come back?
Well, we did. We did.
Yeah, I know. What was, hypothetically, all right, he leaves. He goes to San Antonio, that sellout. What would you have done? Was there a backup plan?
What we would have tried to do is they had Tony Parker. If they have Jason, they don't need Tony Parker. So our backup plan was we'll do a sign and trade with them for Tony Parker. Now, they had never agreed to do it, but Parker, you know, with Jason was going to play 35 minutes a game, but, you know, 38 somewhere in there. So we would have tried to get Tony Parker was what we were going to try to do.
Let me say this, and I say this with such peace and love to Jason Kidd. If the Spurs would have agreed to that, I think looking back on things, I would have said, go to San Antonio. Because that would have been looking at, because after that, and I understand Kenya not coming back eventually, the Vince Carter, it was a different team. You know, the Nets were never back in an Eastern Conference Finals nor an NBA Finals. You know that. I don't have to tell you that. Looking back on it, knowing the way history turned out, I think I would have preferred that. Getting Parker for Jason Kidd.
You know something? In retrospect, you're right, because Tony turned out to be a great player. Plus, he was young.
Sure.
And in retrospect, if we had been able to do that, I think it would have turned out very well for us. Mm.
Rod, I got to throw another game at you that I always remember from that era. Again, we're talking to Rod Thorne, and we appreciate it, Rod, because this is we could do a couple hours with you here.
Kidding
you know,
me, of course.
And that's I call it the Brian Scalabrine game. And even though that series did not turn out the way you wanted it to. You wound up losing to Detroit in 7 that year. That was the year after the San Antonio series. That game on there with triple overtime, Scalabrine in Detroit. I mean, I thought for sure you guys were going to win that series. You wound up losing game 6 at home. But how about that game? Because I thought that game, Jason Kidd was spent in my mind after that game. How about that?
You know something, again, you're right on the money. And the thing that happened in the game, we're up 3 points. We're up 2 points. They shoot and miss. We get the rebound. Kittles is on the line, makes 1 of 2, if you recall. Then Chauncey Billups makes a three-pointer from just over half court.
Mm, right, yeah.
Send the game into the first overtime.
Right, right.
Now we go 3 overtimes. Scalabrine's the hero. Jason Kidd played almost 60 minutes in the game.
Yeah, right.
He was done after that.
He was done. Yep.
In game 6, he could not do anything.
Yeah.
He could not do anything. And then that was the game. They ended up winning it. I remember we were down 2. We couldn't score in the game. And the game was in the 80s. Mm. And they're down 2, and they throw the ball into Rasheed Wallace. And he makes a little turnaround, and, you know, that sort of won the game for him. But game 5, even though we won it, it killed us because Jason was spent.
No doubt.
And he didn't score. In game 7, he didn't score a point in that game. He had a terrible game in game 7.
The game was over 5 minutes in.
Right.
He was and the other thing, if you will recall, that summer he has microfracture surgery.
Right.
He had a hole in his knee that was as big around as a silver dollar.
Wow.
And that guy played with that. But you're right. If Detroit was good. They went on to win the championship.
Sure, yeah, beat the Lakers.
They were good. But once we won game 5, we should have won.
They were good. They won the title. If Jason Kidd's healthy, they're not in the conference finals because that's win game 6 at home. And you mentioned they had a lead in that game.
Yeah.
We probably could not have beaten Miami, because Detroit beat them.
Yes.
Miami probably would have beaten us, because they had Shaq.
Sure.
you know, at that time, and Dwayne Wade. They had a pretty good team. And as you guys were pointing out before, when we played the Lakers in the finals, what I remember, I'll never forget.
It wasn't pretty.
Their bench. We have our backup center is Aaron Williams. I'm looking down the court. Shaq is posted up. I cannot see Aaron Williams. Shaq was so much bigger, and Shaq killed us.
Yeah, he did.
You know, it wasn't
yeah,
he Kobe. Did.
No.
Shaq
yeah,
killed
he killed
us
him.
That
yeah,
series.
He killed you in that series. You know, Ron, I go, I'm such an old man, okay? I'm like, you know, I'm seriously, that I remember you in college at West Virginia. I mean, that's how old I am, Rod.
Oh, now, you wait a minute. You can't be that
you know, old. No. Come on. I mean, what are you kidding me? I am. I remember Bob Pettit and Dolph Schayes, Rod. I mean, come on.
Oh, boy, you are old.
Yeah. You tell me about it, please. You were a great player in college. You were being very much, very favorably compared, if I remember, to Jerry West, who, of course, was, you know, the guy at West Virginia before you. Right? Am I right about that? Hot Rod
well,
Holmley,
you know,
was a big player there, too.
When I came to West Virginia, I was being compared to him. That's what everybody
right,
was saying.
Right.
I was in that Jerry West. Now, my freshman year, freshman couldn't play on the varsity. So our freshman team was better than the varsity second team.
Right.
So we practiced against these guys, you know, all the time before the season started. We were against them, you know, every day. This guy, he destroyed my confidence for about 2 years.
Who's this? Who are you talking about? Right? West?
I'm talking about West.
Yeah, okay.
I was playing against him. He was so good. He was what a great player he was.
Oh my God.
And the logo.
Yeah, he was pretty good. There's no doubt about that.
He was a great one.
Yep. We're talking to the great Rod Thorne, the Hall of Famer, is going to be inducted in a couple of months. One last net thing, because I could ask like 5,000 net questions. The decision to let Kenyon Martin go, was a lot of that from ownership, or did you make the decision, you know what, we don't want to hit that kind of number, that kind of contract with him, we'll let him go to Denver?
You know, we had changed ownership. You know, our team had been sold. Kenyon now is a free agent. Kenyon got an incredible contract at the time from Denver. The decision was made. I knew what Kenyon meant to our team because Kenyon was our toughness. He was our heart guy. Mm. And once he left, we never replaced him during my time there. We never had even a reasonable facsimile of Kenyon Martin. Never did. You know, until they got probably Derek Favors, who was a pretty good player, they never replaced that guy.
No doubt.
It sped us on our way to mediocrity by letting him go. Now the contract was, you know, more than his value. So from an ownership standpoint, it was like, why would we want to do this? But from a team standpoint, we would have been better over a longer period for sure had we kept Kenny.
You know, I just thought of something I'm mad at you about. It just hit me, and
it's not about Ewing on the bench either.
Nothing to do with that. Nothing to do. And I know this is irrational. You leaving because I was, as a fan, placed in the hands of Billy King and this ownership that ruined the franchise. It's still ruined because they don't even have their own draft pick this year. They finally get it next year. And I know you have said it was nothing against the Russians. It was nothing against Prokhorov. It was time to move on. And I respect that. But I think about how different things could have been over the last 7 years if you were running the show. Because I'm making this, but tell me if I'm wrong. You wouldn't have given everything to the Boston Celtics for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. You wouldn't have done that. You probably wouldn't have even done the Darren Williams trade. So I'm annoyed that you left, Rod. Why'd you leave?
Oh, boy.
He's aggravated, Rod.
I miss you.
Yeah.
What would you have done? I'm not saying the Nets would have won a title, but you wouldn't have created the mess that was created. In fact, I was saying this to a Net fan before. You left the Nets in a pretty good spot with assets, and then the assets were all wasted. So
there you go.
Life goes on.
Yeah, well, life's gone on. Basketball hasn't.
Rod, do you like basketball the way it is now? I mean, like I said, I'm an old man. You know what I mean? I like the fact where guys would go down the lane and you paid a price. You know, you had enforce, like you said, Kenyon Martin. You had an enforcer. He was an enforcer. It was tremendous.
Oh,
now you can't even blow on a guy. And it's, you know, you get suspended. You know, it's like a 3-game suspension if you do something like that. I mean, do you like that?
You know, when I was in the league office, we ended up making a bunch of changes to try to take some of the physicality after the game out of the game, because what was transpiring is that strength and toughness were becoming more important than skill. And that's hard to sell, if you will. You want your great athletes to be able to, you know, to do great things without having the fear of getting killed, you know, in the court. So we instituted a bunch of different things over the course of time. Flagrant foul rule, you can't hand check.
Wow, so you're responsible for this? So not only did you stick it to the Knicks, okay, and hold on. Rod, you stuck it to the Knicks by deciding let's suspend him. He walks 2 inches off the bench. Let's suspend a guy. Okay, let's kill the next season.
Oh,
now, here.
Wait a minute.
And then you're responsible for the dumb hand check? Because what? Then you can't play defense anymore in the league, Rod? Come on. Boy, oh boy. And you seem like a hell of a nice guy.
Now think about it, guys.
If
Michael Jordan were playing today in his prime, and you can't put your hands on him, can't hold him, the guy would score it well.
Oh, yeah. He averaged 60 a game, basically.
I mean, oh, my God. Rod, I mean, it's unbelievable. What?
Well, Rod, the good and the bad all discussed today.
You got to bring up Derek Harper, too. You were doing okay. I was almost going, maybe I'll forgive the guy for the Ewing situation. Not really, but I mean, you know. And then you bring that up, but we can't play defense anymore. Okay, let's not do that. Oh, God.
Well, Rod, we appreciate it.
Hey, Rod, congratulations on Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations on it.
Thanks a lot, guys. That's a great honor, and I'm very, very humbled by it.
Thank you very much
for the joy
you gave me in the early 2000s, Rod. Thank you very
much. And the joy that you took away from me, Rod. the pain.
Thank you, Rod.
Thanks, Rod.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care.
The great Rod Thorne. That was good. See, we discussed all aspects
tremendous.
Of it. The good, the bad.
No,
I had
good.
No idea that he was instrumental in the handshake.
How about that?
Thing.
That's all he had to say. It was done. It's bad enough. He kills me with you.
He really killed you 5 different ways.
No
drafting
kidding.
Jordan,
right,
this rule
right,
change,
right.
That suspension.
Oh, the pain.
Even the net one. I know that doesn't bother you as much.
It doesn't bother me.
We'll count that one, too.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.